I want you to go ahead and turn with me to Acts chapter 2. As you're turning there, a couple of announcements. Let me just remind you that this coming Thursday is our annual. It is our monthly, not annual. It is our monthly food distribution at the Yellow Jacket Stadium. So I did watch the weather report, and it's supposed to be 65 degrees. So thank you, Jesus. It's always nice to have good weather when we give out food. We would give out food regardless, but it's nice when the weather cooperates. So we have that going on. And let me just say, there's a lot of stuff. As we kick off this year, we've got our growth tracks, we've got connection groups, we've got things that are just kind of spinning up. I'm excited about this year. 2021 was a good year in a lot of regard, not so good in some other ways, but I'm very optimistic about 2022. Our theme for this year, and I know it doesn't reflect it on the banners, but our theme this year is unstoppable. Unstoppable. Because we're going to talk about an unstoppable organism that Christ left here to do something significant in our world. And we need to understand that he started building something 2,000 years ago, and he continues to build something significant. And I don't know about you, but I want to be part of whatever he's doing. Please understand that the activity of the Holy Spirit has not slowed down one bit. The activity of the Holy Spirit, what's happening in our world, and I mentioned this early in the early service, you can't measure what's happening in the church by what's going on in Western culture. You cannot do that, because right now around the world, the church is growing exponentially. There's explosive growth taking place in places like Bangladesh, Iraq, Iran, North Korea, Mongolia, places that are almost impossible to get to, and yet the gospel of Jesus Christ is finding its way in these darkened areas, and people are being saved in droves. So don't ever measure what's happening in the church by what's going on Western culture church, because that's not a good barometer to measure the activity of the Spirit. God's doing something incredible, and so I want to start this morning a series, as you can see on the screen, Unstoppable, the Unstoppable Church. And I want to encourage you this morning to understand that he started building his church, and what he's looking for, and I believe that the urgency of the hour demands a church that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. You see, we've relied way too long on gimmicks and gadgets and stuff when the church needs to go back to what made it significant in the beginning, and that was the anointing and the separation of the Holy Spirit. That's where we are in 2022, is we need to become the unstoppable church. So I want to kind of set the tone for this series this week, talking about his church. His church. Acts chapter 2, beginning verse number 42. We know this well. This is the birthday. This is the birth of the church. This is early on in the very beginning of the church. Verse 42 says, "And they continued," everybody say continued, "steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders," notice this, "many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily," everybody say daily, daily, "continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God, and having favor," everybody say favor, "having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." May the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. Now again, as I have often said, I have celebrated, this year would have been 28 New Years that we've celebrated as pastors here at Bethel Temple. And I've always said, there's really nothing mystical or magical about ending one year and beginning a new year. Everybody understand that, right? There's really nothing mystical or magical about it. However, there is something psychological. There is a psychological phenomenon that takes place at December the 31st that signals to our brain that we have the ability to start fresh. That for whatever reason, in golf we call it a mulligan, and I really like mulligans. Mulligans is a term where you get a do-over. So if I'm up there in the tee box and I hit it, you know, maybe I flip my wrist or I stand wrong or I hold my mouth wrong or I breathe wrong, you know, I hit it this way or hit it this way, I'll say, hey, I call a mulligan. That means I get to do it over. And that's really what the new year's all about. It signals to us that maybe 2021 wasn't the year that I wanted it to be. Maybe I didn't end up in that spiritual position that I wanted myself to end up. Maybe I didn't get as close to the Lord as what I wanted to be. Because how many understand life happens? Life happens. I mean, you know, you can be guns blazing, doing everything possible, and life happens and you're set back for a week, 2, a month, or a year, or whatever. You're just set back. So the new year gives us the opportunity to begin again. And for many, that's what the new year is all about. We look forward to that new year of starting over. And I mentioned this to the men yesterday in our men's breakfast. I said, you know, there are a lot of businesses today that value this time of the year so much so that they will actually shut down their operations, take a few days to do an inventory, to figure out where they are and where they want to go. That's how valuable it is. They're willing to shut the doors of business, of commerce, so that they can find out, number one, where am I as a company? Where are we? And then forecast where they want to go and then strategically decide what needs to happen to get from point A to point B. Do you know what? That's a great thing to do spiritually. Spiritually, it's a wonderful thing to stop, to pause, and to see where we are in our journey of faith. Because here's the thing. You never end up successful on accident. You never get to where you want to go accidentally. It always is an intentional act. And so that's what the new year is all about. It's about bringing your life into alignment with what God wants. I said this to the guys yesterday, Shade Tree Mechanics. I asked how many have ever timed a car. Now, some of the younger ones are like, what are you talking about? Well, if you know, you know, and if you don't, you don't. So that's just about all we can talk about. You want a car that's in perfect timing. It runs efficiency and effectively. And if it's not, then the car doesn't work well. It bumps and you know, it just knocks and does all kinds of weird things. Same thing spiritually. If we're not in alignment with Him, there's going to be a lot of things that are not efficient and effective in our lives. And so that's the new year gives us that opportunity. This morning, as I said, I want to begin, pardon me, a new sermon series entitled The Unstoppable Church. And I want you to understand that He's building this church. If you don't get anything else I say out of these series of messages over the next few couple of weeks, is I want you to understand that Jesus committed Himself to building a church that's been empowered by the Holy Spirit, that's been called and commissioned to go into all the world and preach the gospel, make disciples, and baptize people. That's the commission of the church, and it's still the same. That's our mandate. For the past 2 years, every one of us here have seen and heard and experienced the bad news of our world. We, with the shutdowns, the vaccines, the mandates, the elections, I mean, in all honesty, it's been a pretty tumultuous year, to say the least. And it seems like to me that everything that you and I have been told to count on or to trust in has let us down. I want you to think about that for a minute. Everything that we've been told to bank on, to trust. You know, the scripture says some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Everything, every institution that we've put our allegiance and our trust in has disappointed us and let us down. Without exception, I do believe. We were told to trust. We did. We felt betrayed and let down. And even the church, and I want you to hear this, and I'm not jumping on a political bandwagon, but I think we need to understand what the church is here for. Even the church to at large seems to have lost her focus. Over the last 2 years, we've seen the gospel, and probably longer than that, but especially the last 2 years, we have reduced the gospel to a social message, and then we've used it to batter people and beat them into submission to align with a certain particular social agenda. That is not what Jesus came to build. He didn't come. Listen, you got to understand, the gospel is not partisan. The gospel is not a Democrat gospel. It is not a Republican gospel. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the fact that God became one of us. He came. He was born. He lived a sinless life. He died on Calvary, was buried. 3 days later came to life again. He rose, is at the right hand of the Father, where he advocates and intercedes, and one day he's coming back. That's the gospel. And we've reduced the gospel message, the good news, to a social battering ram, and we're trying to beat people into submission today with this social gospel. That is not biblical gospel. That is not biblical gospel. You know, is it any wonder that Western culture, when you start talking about the church continues to diminish in her relevance and impact in the daily lives of people? Do you realize that most people today who call themselves a believer are remotely influenced by the gospel? In other words, when it comes to making decisions, when it comes to how they align their lives, very few people today who identify as a Christian actually use the Word of God as that measuring rod for what is right and what is wrong. That's a sad place to be, church. That is less than what the Bible says the church should be. George Barna reports that, and I had to look up this term because I'd never heard it before. He's got a term that he uses. He reports that non-practicing Christians, get that for a minute. I thought that was an oxymoron. Non-practicing Christians have grown to almost 50% since 2000. 50%. You say, okay, so what's a non-practicing Christian? Well, I had to look it up. Here's what a non-practicing Christian, according to George Barna. A non-practicing Christian is someone who self-identify as a Christian, but they rarely, if ever, attend religious services or engage in kingdom assignment. Think about that for a minute. He goes on and he reports that attendance in the Western church continues to spiral downward across the board. In fact, prognosticators today say that the church today will never see what it did pre-COVID. As far as like in-person, the activity of people in the church, that day is long gone. That we'll never see that level of activity, that we'll never see that level of engagement again. I'm just reporting, okay? I'm just reporting because I believe there's something different going on. I believe that God's doing something pretty incredible. Listen, we could go on and on and on with one stat after another to illustrate how the Western church right now is in trouble. The salt has lost her saltiness, and the light has been hidden under a bushel. And what I want to accomplish in this series is I want to convince you, and I want you to understand from Scripture, that Jesus started building this organism that is thriving, it is alive, it is well, it has not lost her saltiness, and it is a city that has been set up on a hill that illuminates in the darkness. I'm telling you that this church, the body of Christ, is alive and well in 2022, regardless of what you have heard. Listen, the question is, well, since all of this is going on, this bad news, should we pack it up and shut the doors? I mean, is that what we need to do? Should we shut the door? Is the church something that we should be engaged with as an individual and as a family? Is that something that we should be a part of? Number three, is the church relevant for the 21st century? Again, most people today don't allow the Word of God to influence anything they do in their daily lives. It's just something they added to it. How many understand that's not what the gospel is about? Not what the gospel is about. 2,000 years ago, a carpenter from Nazareth named Jesus Christ, burst onto the scene with a vision that literally changed the world. Everywhere Jesus went, he inspired people, the imagination of people, by painting for them a picture of a spiritual and a relational connection with a God that they had only heard great stories about, but they didn't know that they could know personally. They did not know that. His teachings were so riveting to the audience that they went without food to listen to him. They went without water to be able to sit there and hear him talk about a God who loved them personally, okay? He spoke of the kingdom of God, and he explained that this kingdom was like a mustard seed. And when it started out, it was very small and insignificant. And yet when it was full-blown, the birds of the air would rest in its limbs. Jesus painted a picture of a powerful living organism that would change the known world. What Jesus envisioned was so valuable that he encouraged children to come to it. He encouraged the poor in spirit to seek it, and the rich to be willing to let go of everything they possessed in order to gain entrance to it. This thing's called the church. See, for 3 years, Jesus proclaimed the good news of the kingdom, and then to the shock and dismay of everybody there, he was betrayed, mocked, and ridiculed, and then he died. And seemingly the dream died with him, but 3 days later, Jesus rose in power, announcing that the dream was as alive as he was. He opened their minds to see that the kingdom that he had been talking about for 3 years was not a political kingdom, wasn't a partisan kingdom, but it was a spiritual kingdom. It was the rule of God in people's hearts. And that vision that he started 2,000 years ago is still growing and developing in 2022 right now. In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came, descended upon that gathering. I want you to think about the early church. The early church was a formidable church. They didn't have nice fancy sound systems and chairs and things of that nature, but it was a formidable church because they, for 10 days, they listened to Jesus say, "Tarry in Jerusalem until you receive the promise." And for 10 days, they tarried, and for 10 days, they prayed, and for 10 days, they sought this promise that was spoken by the prophet Joel. And on that 10th day, the Bible says, "And suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit came on that day." And the Bible says they began to speak with boldness in the word of God, and they came out of that upper room with stammering lips, and they began to speak the word of God and boldly proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. And 3,000 people got saved that day because it was a church that was unafraid. They were unstoppable. Next day, 5,000 people get saved. And from there, the church migrated outward across to the known world, preaching the message of Jesus Christ. It wasn't a social gospel. It wasn't social issues. It was the message of the cross, and it was the message that the soul that sins will surely die. And they began to talk about a Savior. They talked about a God who loved them, that came as one of them and paid the price, became the propitiation for their sin, and he gave himself so they could have life and have it in all of its fullness. And it changed the world. It was an unstoppable church. See, that very first church, the people devoted themselves to teaching, to fellowship, to celebrating the Lord's Supper, and to praying for one another. And the atmosphere was so electric. The Bible says there was a sense of awe and wonder that overtook that place every time they got together. I want you to imagine that church. Listen, they had issues. I'm not saying they didn't have issues. Listen, when you get more than two people together, guess what? You're going to have issues. How many husbands? No, I'm not going there. You're just going to have issues. But there was something about this church. This church was so compelling that they met every day together, sometimes in the temple for public worship. Sometimes they met in homes. Where's that? Connection groups, right? Sometimes they met in homes for more intimate fellowship. It was important that they came together. The picture that Jesus had painted had become a reality. And the members of the church, they ate together and they praised God together. And they rejoiced that they were part of this movement called the church. In fact, it was so contagious. Our scripture says that the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. It was so contagious that people wanted to be a part of it. They wanted to become part of God's family and the vision that Jesus had been talking about for 3 years. Listen, what we read about in Acts chapter 2 is how God envisions the church. It's how he envisions the church, not just in Jerusalem, but all over the world and then right here in Cleburne and in Johnson County. That's how he envisions the church. That's what this series is all about. See, this church became an unstoppable force for good because they devoted themselves to five purposes. Over the next couple of weeks, that's what we're going to talk about, is these five purposes. What made that church contagious? What made that church unstoppable? What made it such a powerhouse and formidable church that people would run through the streets and say, these men who turned the world upside down have come hitherto also? What was it about them, and can we recapture that? Again, I want to give you just kind of an introduction to the five purposes. Number one, they committed to authentic community. One of the reasons that they were such a powerful church is because they committed to authentic community. Now, what does that mean? It just means they got real with each other. It just means they got real with each other. Here's my question. Don't you get tired of fakeness? Don't you get tired of pretense? Just fake. You know, we live in a culture today where we talk about these keyboard warriors that wax very bold and intimidating, and yet, and I don't want to go there, but you understand what I'm talking about. Aren't you just tired of fake? It's fake. I mean, you go to the store, they got fake cheese. They got fake butter. They got fake snacks. You know, they got stuff that tastes like styrofoam, and they call it a snack. I just want real stuff. I want something authentic, something that's real. Listen, we wear, I mean, you think about where we live today. So many people are wearing masks, and it's so hard to discover the real person. It's real hard to discern who's genuine and who's real and who's lying to your face. The early church was authentic. They were real with each other. Listen, we don't like to be authentic because here's the thing, because we're afraid of not being accepted. So we put on the airs, like we're somebody that we're not, and we try to pretend to be something that we're not because we don't want to be unaccepted. We want to fit in. Listen, the church should be the place where everybody fits in. Whether you come in a Rolls Royce or you come in a Pinto. Anybody know what a Pinto is? Okay, just checking. I'm dating myself there. My dad used to call those Pacers a pregnant Pinto. You know, I learned a long time ago just to be me. I'm me. I like being me. Not everybody likes me. And you know what? That's okay. That's okay, because I'm not going to stand before you and have you tell me well done. I'm going to stand before him and have him tell me well done. Listen, I don't intentionally go out of my way to offend anybody. I really don't. But I like being me. I don't get worked up about people that don't like me. Because it's just not worth it. It's not worth the energy. Right? I mean, if you're a people pleaser, you understand how difficult that is. Because if you look at some, you know, the Bible says, be not dismayed by their faces. Listen, there's some people, their faces can dismay you in a hurry. Right? You got to be careful. Listen, when you see, listen, I like being me. What you see is what you get, whether you like it or not. This is who I am. And if you see me in Walmart, guess what? I am who I am. I'm the same there as I am right here. I don't put on airs. I don't try to pretend to be somebody I'm not. I am who I am. I'm liable to have a shirt on that says Alabama, and it might have a hole in it, you know, but it's my shirt. And I'm not embarrassed by it. I'm comfortable. My wife's like, you got better shirts than that. And I said, yeah, but not more comfortable shirts than that. Those holes come in the right spots, in the right places, and it's just really nice. Some of you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of you ladies do too. Yeah. I just like being me. Listen, the church should be a place where we can be real. Amen? It should be a place where we can be real, a place where we can take off our masks, a place where we can admit who we are and we can grow through our imperfections. That's what community is all about. It's about being able to come together. And I love to hear stories of people that come in that find community, that find a group of people. I talk about our women's Bible study that meets on Wednesday nights. I'm not privy to anything that goes on back there. Every once in a while, I'll get a pretty good story of somebody that came in that may have had challenges and struggles and things going on in their life. You know what? They stop. they gather together, they pray, they encourage that person, and they do okay. That's the church. That's what community is all about. It's about coming in and saying, you know what? I blew it today. I mean, I really had all I really had my mind made up. I was going to be kind and considerate and compassionate, but I lost my temper and I cussed them out and I did all that. They don't need to come in here and be judged by somebody else. They need somebody to put their arm around and say, hey, you know what? It's okay. We're going to do better next time. That's what the church is about. This church was a formidable church because they found community together. They fellowshipped regularly together. Listen, we all want to be, who wouldn't want to be a part of something like that? Who wouldn't want to be a part of something where we are known and loved and celebrated just because of who we are? See, the church is where we experience relationships the way they were supposed to be experienced. How did they do that? Notice what the Bible says. They devoted themselves. They devoted themselves. If you don't know what the word devote is, I know it's probably out of our dictionaries nowadays because nobody ever uses it anymore. But the word devoted, it's not a word that we use a lot because the distractions of life make it very difficult to devote to anything. But for them to find authentic community, they devoted themselves to each other. They devoted themselves to each other. See, there's power when we devote ourselves together. Devotion is a good thing. You put a church together full of devoted people, devoted to each other and devoted to a cause, I'll show you an unstoppable force for good in a local community. You remember when Nimrod was building the Tower of Babel and God said, I got to come down there and got to take care of these folks because if they put their mind to it, there's not anything they cannot do. See, that's the power of unity and community right there. If they put their mind to it, there's not anything they cannot do and they cannot accomplish or achieve. That's community. Listen, we ought to be a place, the church, energized by the Holy Spirit, motivated by a relational commitment to one another, has the power to change lives unlike anything there is on earth. When we come together and fellowship as a body, there is a transformative power. There is a synergy that exists through the Spirit that can take our worst among us and transform them into children, men and women of God. And it's not people sitting in condemnation. It's people standing in fellowship with them. Second thing is this. They gave God wholehearted worship. Another thing that was dynamic about them. Didn't you love worship this morning? Man, what a beautiful opportunity just to connect with God through worship. One of the things that made the first church so attractive was they had an understanding that it was God who created them, saved them, provided their daily sustenance, and they came together to honor Him through worship. Worship isn't about whether I feel like it or not. Worship is the value that I project on the worthiness of God. That's what worship is really all about. They assemble for worship every week, and they worship with grateful hearts. They were thankful because they recognized everything they had in life was from God. Our text says they devoted themselves to breaking bread and to prayer. So when the Lord's Supper was served, they did not take it for granted. When someone needed prayer, you know what they did? They prayed. They gathered around one another and they prayed. They touched God. Verse number 47 says that they were praising God. They worshiped God for who He was and what He had done. Worship is a vital part of it. That's why Hebrews says we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We're not to do that. We're to come together, and remember what he said? And in particularly, more so, when you see that day coming. In other words, when you see the prophetic clock at 12:50 or 11:59, don't neglect coming together as a body. We need one another, and the world needs us. So number three, they took their spiritual growth seriously. Okay, again, these are the five purposes. They dedicated or devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. What does that mean? Well, it means that they tuned in to what was being preached and what was being taught. See, they understood that spiritual growth was important. Jesus had touched them, and they wanted to be transformed into His likeness. Listen, by the way, that ought to be every one of our goals this year, is to be more like Jesus. What did John the Baptist say? He must increase, and I must decrease. Listen, lots of people take their golf game seriously, their bank account seriously, their career seriously. Again, there's nothing wrong with doing that. But listen, the most important thing, our relationship with God, can often be neglected if we're not intentional about it. Do you understand that you just don't arrive accidentally? It's intentional. Growth is intentional. Listen, I love walking through the nursery or walking by the nursery and seeing those babies back there. You know, there's a process called a biological process where time produces growth and development. In fact, if you were to take your child, we got a baby dedication next week. Hadn't done one of those in a while, so I'm excited about it. But you take a baby, and you take that. You go to your 4-month checkup, your 6-month checkup, your year checkup. They have benchmarks in which they want to see them achieve through the biological process. They're growing and developing. But do you know what? Spiritually, there is no process like that. It is not an automatic process simply because I sit in a church or in a Sunday school class or in a discipleship setting. It is not an evolutionary process where I just develop. It's an intentional act on my part. Amen? It means I've got to determine. So that's what happens. That's what they did. They determined that they were going to grow. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. In other words, they took it. They broke it down. They digested it. They were nourished by it. In fact, Paul, writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, listen to what he said. He said, godliness has some value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Did you get that? He's saying discipleship will benefit you right now, and it will benefit you in eternity. It has promise for right now and for the future. Listen, if we're going to be an unstoppable church, then we've got to commit ourselves to discipleship. We've got to commit ourselves. We ramped up Sunday school. I know it's not back up to full steam, and I'm just simply saying we've ramped up Sunday school. We've got Wednesday night classes. We've got connection groups. All of these things are designed to help disciple people. Because if I don't intentionally do that, I'm not going to grow. I'll end up this year right where I am right now if I don't do that. Number four, they prioritize their life. Boy, isn't that a big thing right now? Prioritize their life. In other words, here's the thing. They invested their time, their talent, and their treasure in things that really mattered. That's it. They learned what truly was important, and they invested in those things. Because the Acts 2 church had this sense of community, there was a sense of gratitude and a desire to become like him. And the Bible says, here's what it says about them. All the believers had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods, and gave to anyone as he had need. What does that mean? Does it mean that we should all go and have a communal relationship? You know, maybe we should build a fence around this property and put little tiny huts on these things. And now that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about these people were so sensitive to the community aspect of the church that they were willing to help out one another in difficult times. If they had resources, they made them available to help people in need. How many understand that there's something about serving one another with no strings attached? That's a very powerful thing. Listen, when the other members of the church were in need, the church stepped up and responded. These people in the first church decided that they were going to do something about it. They were going to sit there and listen and not be motivated to help. See, to become the unstoppable church, they had to align their priorities with his priorities. My question is this morning, what does your priorities look like? What do your priorities look like? Listen, there's a lot of things out here that are demanding our time and our attention, but there's really only one thing that really, really, really matters, and that is this right here. Everything else has to be secondary, tertiary, or less to that one thing. Mary and Martha had the opportunity to be with Jesus. Martha is busy baking cakes and making stew, running errands, running to and fro, serving, doing all of these things. Mary's sitting there with Jesus, and Martha comes in and she says, "My Lord, don't you understand how busy I am? Why can't you make her help me?" And Jesus says, "Martha, sweet Martha, you are cumbered about much serving. You are occupied with all these things." But Mary has chosen that which is best, and it will not be taken from her. The lesson there is not that we shouldn't be engaged in service, but we should never be engaged in the work of the Lord without having opportunity to be with the Lord of the work. There has to be time. There's a time for being, and there's a time for doing. The time for doing comes after the time of being. Right? This early church was an unstoppable church because they came together to accomplish something. Number five, here's the thing, they invited others to join them. When was the last time you asked somebody to come be a part of the church with you? Yeah, I'm just throwing this out there. When was the last time you invited, when was the last time you engaged anybody with spiritual matters? Do you know that they say statistically right now that 98% of believers will never share their faith with anybody? Isn't that sad? Let me ask you something. I'm not promoting this. I'm just simply saying, listen, if you came into a boatload of money yesterday, okay, I don't know, maybe you want the publisher's clearinghouse, okay? Maybe they showed up with balloons and flowers at your house and you got $20 million. How many of you would tell somebody? Some of you are like, well, not me. I'm not telling a soul. They'll be on my doorstep every day trying to get money. Okay, maybe that's a bad illustration. I don't know. If something good happened to you, would you not tell somebody? Would you not say, hey, listen to what happened to me? Listen, they invited others to come be a part of this thing called the church. That is our assignment this year. Who wouldn't want to be a part of something where people were genuine, where they were authentic, where God got the credit, where people were becoming more and more kind and generous to each other? Who wouldn't want to be a part of that? Listen, we live in a dog-eat-dog world. It's a mean place. Listen, we live in a mean world. Don't believe me? Make your sister mad and watch what she does to you. Or your brother. Oh, we laugh about it, but that's the truth. How many times do we get out of here, or maybe not even before we get out of here, we're texting, somebody says, I can't believe they wore that to church today. Or I just can't believe he's like that. We laugh about it, but that's the truth. I think one of the things that has done the church in is our loose lips. They say loose lips sink ships. I'm telling you, the church has been sunk because we got people that can't control their tongue. I went there. That's not even part of my notes. I'm just saying, this church was a formidable, unstoppable church because they were authentic, they worshiped, they served together, they broke bread together, they communed together, they served together. And then they invited people to come. The first church lived with the reality that you and I have been entrusted. Guys, come on back. I'm going to wrap this up. They were entrusted with the message of the gospel. And this message had the power to change lives. I mentioned this on Wednesday night. Thomas Trask, I was listening to him preach a message just the other day. And Tom Trask got up and he said this. He said, since when has it become, when did we get to this place where people can sit in our churches on Sunday morning under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and not be convicted by the sin they live in Monday through Saturday? I thought, whoo! When did we become at ease with the sin of the world? When did we allow it to come into our church and pollute us to the point where we're no longer moved by the things that grieve the Spirit? You see, if we're going to be an unstoppable church, then it's going to be on His terms, not our terms. The Bible says that He added to the church such as should be saved. But one of the things it said about them, and signs and wonders were done. And people today are saying, where are the signs? Where are the wonders? Where are the miracles? I'm telling you that the miracle power of the Holy Spirit is happening all over the world, except in places of Western culture predominantly. In 2 Chronicles chapter 2, I mentioned this to the men yesterday. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro up and down all of the earth, looking to show himself strong on behalf of people whose hearts are loyal to him. Whose hearts are loyal to him. Today we're so worried, we want to find out how close to the world we can get and still call ourselves a believer. We want to see what we can live in and still be comfortable with our salvation when the Scripture says there ought to be a separation. Again, the salt has lost her saltiness. The light has been hidden under a bushel. It's time to take the lid off and to shine and illuminate in the dark world that we live. That church becomes unstoppable. That church becomes unstoppable. And there's not anything that cannot be accomplished. As I close this morning, you know, Paul, listen, the world that we live in demands a church just like Acts 2. The world we live in demands a church like Acts 2. Paul said these last days, the attitude, he called it perilous times. Remember what he said? Perilous times. He described attitudes and behaviors that have run amok. And listen, that's the present reality of where we are right now. Attitudes and behaviors have run amok. And we excuse our unchristian manners by saying, well, that's just me. That's just me. In a church that's unstoppable, it ain't just you. It's not just you. It's everybody. I want to be a part of that unstoppable church. Amen. Over the next few weeks, we're going to unpack each of these five priorities a little more in depth. But I want to be a part of an unstoppable movement that has the capacity to take bad people and make them good. That has the capacity to take lost people and introduce them to a Savior who will find them. That's the unstoppable church. I know what the prognosticators say. They're saying the best days of the church are behind us. Might as well just turn the lights out and go on our merry way. But I'm telling you, Jesus said, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And you know what? He's still building his church right now. Doesn't matter what the data shows. Doesn't matter what statistics tell us. Doesn't matter what current trends tell us. He's still building his church and there are people that are flocking to it in droves. Right now on this Sunday, 2022. Because it is an unstoppable force when we come together in authentic community, as we come together to serve, to work, to fellowship together, there's something about that synergy that you cannot replicate and you cannot stop it. I want to be a part of that. Won't you stand with me this morning? Everybody asks, Pastor, where's all the miracles? You know, Gideon asked the question, if God be for us, you know, then where are the miracles? God said he's ready to show himself strong. He's ready to demonstrate his power to those whose heart is loyal to him. Are you loyal? Are you anchored firmly in Christ and Christ alone? Because if not, you're missing out on that dynamic power that's available to transform. Listen, you've heard my story for many, many years. I've been very open and very transparent. God took a bad man and he changed me from the core of who I am. I shouldn't be where I'm at today. But for the grace of God. See, somebody told me about a man who could change my life. And I was just gullible enough to believe it. And I said, God, if you can do anything with me, here I am. Here I am. I'm not much. But what I am, you can have. And he took that punk kid from South Alabama and he plopped me down, Jeremiah 18, on a wheel. And that thing began to spin around. And he took his hand and he started applying pressure, squeezing me here and squeezing me there, putting pressure here and putting pressure there. And he began to mold me into a vessel. That vessel was marred. A lot of imperfections, a lot of baggage I brought with me. So you know what he did? He didn't toss me in the trash. He said, "You're going to require a little more work, buddy." And he beat me down again. And then he started the process. And you know what? He's still working on me. But I'm a vessel of honor to him, because he never took his hands off. That was January of 1985, and he's still working on me right now. I'm not who I want to be, but I'm certainly not who I used to be, because he committed to a work in my life, and he put me among a group of people. You know, the thing I love about this church, I came here when I was 27 years old as pastor. I was green and didn't know much, but this church welcomed me. They let me fail. They let me blow it, and they encouraged me to get up and keep trying. And here I am 28 years, almost 29 years later, still working on the call of God. I'm telling you this morning, I want to be a part of the Unstoppable Church. I want to be a part of a church that's tied in. Listen, we're not here for popularity contest. I get so sick and tired of the way people try to choose churches nowadays. You pray about it and go where the Spirit sends you. Because if their attractions get you there, their distractions are going to push you out. You go where the Spirit bids you to go. And then when you get there, you plug into that place and you become part of that unstoppable force for the good in the community. Listen, as we sing this morning, I just want to close it this way. Two things. Number one, do you want to be a part of the Unstoppable Church? Listen, I want you to dream with me. I want you to dream about, how many of you remember me? I used to talk all the time about this platform being filled with wheelchairs and crutches. Anybody remember that? I used to talk about that all the time, how I just felt like the Lord just on my heart, seeing a place, a hospital for the sick. Well, we had wheelchairs lined up here because people came in being pushed and they walked out without their chair. Crutches thrown on the stage. You said, "Now you're dreaming." Well, don't wake me up, because I want to keep dreaming. I want to be a part of a church where we are real with each other, where we can support one another without gossiping and without crucifying them with our lips. You want to be a part of that? We have as much of him as we want. The second thing is this. I really feel like I want to do it this way. If you're here today, why are we singing? And you need prayer. And I know that a lot of people are still a little anxious about the resurgence in COVID, so I'm going to respect that. But here's what I want to ask you to do. If you need prayer and you want somebody to pray, you want to be prayed for, I'm going to ask you to line up right down front here. Just come all the way up to the front here. And then we're going to extend our hand to pray for you. I want to be respectful, but I want to do that. So while we sing, would you come? Would you come this morning? You say, "Pastor, you know what? I've got some things going on. I want to pray."
Across the earth, we see worshipers believe, hear our song, praise to our God, praise to our God.
Come on, you need prayer this morning. Come on, we're going to pray with you. Listen, you got anything going on, I want you to come. We're going to pray with you. We're going to pray for God to touch you this morning.
Lifting up.
Thank you, Jesus. Come on, church. Let's engage. Let's engage.
Hear our song, Praise to our God. Praise to our God. Bringing honor.
Thank you, Jesus.
To your majesty, there's no other. Like the King of all kings, God be praised. All the glory to your awesome name. All creation rising up to say, we know.
God reigns. God reigns. Yes, our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Sing it just one more time. Oh, our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. The unstoppable church, that's what we're a part of. As you walk out of here today, I want you to understand, listen, there are a lot of people today that feel that are part of the body of Christ that feel battered and bruised because the world has told them they're irrelevant and insignificant. I'm telling you today, you are relevant, you are significant, and you are unstoppable through Him. Let's step out in that boldness. And this week, these signs, we changed them, as you may not have seen. Be the church. Be the church. Be the church out there. Be the church in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And watch the changes that come. Father, I love you today. You are part of something that is significant. You are part of something that is transformative. And I bid you to come. Don't sit on the outskirts and dip your toes in just to temper yourself. I tell you to take the plunge, to come in, to fully immerse yourself in what I'm doing. For I tell you that my activity has not been slowed. I've not been put on hiatus. I am actively working in this world today, drawing men unto myself. I am calling out to you to come, be a part of what I'm doing in your community and around the world, saith the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, this morning, you just witnessed a message of tongues and interpretation, as Paul writes about in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. These are ministry gifts that are given to the body of Christ to edify and to correct and to instruct and to encourage. Listen, God is building something that's something incredible. Be a part of it. Be a part of it. Get into the flow of what He's doing. Listen, there may be a lot of things that you don't understand. There may be a lot of things that maybe you don't have the background and maybe this is all brand new to you. Let this witness of the Spirit inside confirm what God's doing and get plugged in to see what God's going to do. I want to be a part of what He's doing. Whether He tarries a week, a month, 10 years from now, or whether He comes today, I want to be a part of what He's building right here in Cleveland. Listen, He's been working on us since, well, for a long time. July of 93 is when we came to this church, and He's been working ever since. And He's still working. Let's walk out with significance and be unstoppable. Father, go with us now. Lord, embolden and empower us to be the church. Not talk about church, but to be the church. To grow, to reach, to serve. Lord, to do those things that You've called us to do. Lord, help us to become that community where people can come in, they can feel part of it. Lord, they can be authentic, they can be their real selves. They can come in and share their failures and their letdowns and their disappointments, Lord, and they can be encouraged and prayed for and helped to be better the next time. Lord, help us to serve together, to fellowship together, to break bread together, to do all of these things that made this church the unstoppable church. Now, Father, I pray that You take us out of here with that determination to be unstoppable in our kingdom assignment. Lord, I pray for this church in particular right here, Bethel Temple. Lord, I pray that you would bring laborers from the north, the south, the east, and the west to help us make a difference in Johnson County and beyond. And Father, I pray you'll give us a great day today. Should you tarry, Lord, bring us again the next appointed time, ready to receive from you. I speak blessings and favor over every person here in the mighty name of Jesus. And we all said, amen, amen. Thank you for joining us online. I look forward to seeing you next time. God bless you, and I love you.
Out of ashes, you lifted us to the table. You came and filled our cup. Every heart and soul. All the glory to you.